Se nos fue. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we're thankful this evening for your loving kindness. We're thankful for your mercy. Thankful that we serve a living God, a God full of compassion. Heavenly Father, we have gathered this evening in obedience to your instruction that we should assemble ourselves for the purpose of being encouraged through your word. Father, we recognize that our human minds are incapable of perceiving or understanding that which is spiritual, apart from God the Holy Spirit, interpreting and working in us. So as we have gathered this evening, we pray that the Holy Spirit will grant each and every one of us the concentration that we need and the ability to perceive exactly what you want to hear this evening. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. We move now to Hosea chapter 13, verses 7 through 8. Hosea chapter 13, verses 7 through 8. It begins, verse 7. So I will come upon them like a lion, like a leopard. I will lock by the path. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. Like a lion, I will devour them. A wild animal will tear them apart. Now these two verses, when originally delivered by the prophet to Israel, were intended to convey a specific message to Israel who was in idolatry or apostasy. The figures used in this message should be understood in the light of the fact that Israel has been portrayed as the flock of the Lord and then those that he cared for with plenty of pasture. So it is fitting to use figures of wild animals in conveying God's message to these rebellious people. Now, it is not only that the figures used fit the description of Israel as the flock of the Lord, but these figures are designed to shock Israel. You see, Israel has known of their God as a loving and caring God. So for him to be presented in the figures of wild beasts that devour their prey is intended to jolt his people to recognize the serious danger of their spiritual state. They are to pay attention to the message of the prophet. The message the Lord wanted the prophet to deliver to Israel from this passage is simple but poignant one. The message is that a fierce punishment in a surprising fashion is coming upon Israel that will result in violent and her total destruction for ignoring her God. Now the message the Holy Spirit wants the believer and so the Church of Christ to hear from this passage is essentially the same thing. The message the Holy Spirit wants to deliver to you and to the Church is this. A believer who ignores the Lord will face a fierce punishment that comes in a surprising manner that will lead to violent and total destruction. We will expand on this message by considering three assertions. A first assertion is that you should remember or be cognizant that God punishes because he is ignored or forgotten. That's the first assertion. To be cognizant that God punishes because he is ignored or forgotten. Now this point is important for several reasons. First, the passage we're considering is concerned with punishment. Second, the Lord, through his prophet, had already expressed his reluctance in punishment or in punishing Israel, as stated in Hosea chapter 11, verse 8 that we have covered. Hosea chapter 11, verse 8 speaks to the reluctance of the Lord in punishing Israel. Because it reads, "How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Adamah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused." So, it is a difficult thing for the Lord to punish his people. Third, there is the tendency for some to think of God as an angry being who just wants to punish humans. No, God is not such a being who wants to punish us for no reason. In fact, this scripture describes for us God's feeling towards punishment. It is the clear declaration of the scripture that God is reluctant in punishing mankind. This truth is stated in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 33. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 33. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 33 reads as follows: "For he," that's the Lord, "does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men." He does not willingly do that. Now, it is true that suffering occurs in this life, but God's ultimate goal is to bless his children. But when his children rebel against him, then God has no choice, so to say, but to bring judgment or inflict pain upon those who rebel against him. In effect, God does not take pleasure in inflicting pain. He will rather bless. However, his character is such that he has to punish sin or rebellion wherever it exists. Now, this passage of Lamentations 3, verse 33, then makes clear God's attitude towards punishment or suffering. Nonetheless, this is not the only passage that indicates God's attitude towards punishment. Prophet Ezekiel informs us that the Lord does not take delight in the death of the wicked. Instead, he wants to see repentance from him, according to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. He reads, "Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel?" So in any case, the passages that we have cited clearly support the contention that God does not enjoy punishing mankind. It gives him no pleasure. His greatest delight, as we have stated, is to bless and not to curse or bring curse on people. But when there is rebellion against him, then he responds with cursing or punishment. Therefore, it is important to recognize that punishment from the Lord is not something that takes place without any reason. Now, you may wonder why we are stressing this point. You may even think that this point is not connected with the passage of Hosea chapter 13, verses 7 through 8 that we're considering. But it is. How, you may ask? It is because of the very first word used in verse 7. The very first word of Hebrews of Hosea 13, verse 7. See, the very first word of verse 7, both in the English and in the Hebrew, is the word so, or a word that is similar. Now, the word is translated from a Hebrew conjunction that in our passage is used to indicate result. The point of the use of this conjunction is to indicate that what follows results from what preceded it. In effect, the punishment that is described in verses 7 and 8 results from the actions of the preceding section, specifically verse 6. In the preceding verse, the prophet had indicated to Israel that in his pride, he had forgotten God or has ignored his Lord. Now, of course, it is possible that Israel would have thought that he could get away with ignoring the Lord. But that's not the case. As we have said many, many times, it is impossible to get away with anything with the Lord. Impossible. On this planet. Now, this is not in my note, but this is something somebody told me about 2 days ago. Somebody that got involved and cheated somebody with big, large sum of money. And in about 5 years, that same person got involved with another person, and they were duped by a third person. And they were told me, I said, well, they think I'm crazy, don't they? Because I keep emphasizing that we reap what we sow. There's no way we get around it. He may not come immediately, 10 years, 20 years, but we'll get it. That's the way we get about it. So Israel may have thought that, well, yes, they're going to get away. And God said, no. Therefore, the Lord, through his prophet, tells Israel that he will punish her. In effect, the word so links the present passage of Hosea chapter 13, verses 7 through 8, with the preceding passage of Hosea chapter 13, verses 4 through 6, again specifically verse 6. Now it is because Israel has ignored the law that he will inflict punishment on her. You see, Israel enjoyed the blessings that came from the Lord, but instead of acknowledging him by being obedient to the terms of their covenant relationship with the Lord as given in the law, she became disobedient and turned to idols. Now, disobedience certainly demands punishment from the Lord. Of course, it's not only through Prophet Hosea that the Lord makes his point that punishment will come to Israel for this disobedience, but also through other prophets. For example, Prophet Jeremiah connects Israel's punishment to disobedience or rebellion against the Lord, as we read in Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. It reads, so I will go to the leaders and speak to them. Surely they know the way of the Lord, the requirements of their God. But with one accord, they too have broken off the yoke and torn off the bonds. Therefore, a lion from the forest will attack them. A wolf from the desert will ravage them. A leopard will lie in wait near their towns to tear to pieces anyone who venture out. For their rebellion is great and their backslidings many. Now, you see, in this passage of Jeremiah, the Lord, through the prophet Jeremiah, indicates that Israel's punishment stems from their rebellion and apostasy, described here as backslidings. Now, rebellion of Israel is conveyed in the figures described in the Bible phrase when they say, had broken off the yoke, had broken off the yoke. And, of course, also on the Bible phrase where it says, torn off the bonds. Now, those who are believers are under God's yoke, or under his bonds, so to say, in that they are obligated to obey his word. If you're a believer, you are under yoke, you are under obligation to obey his word. Now, this should be no doubt in your mind, or there should be no doubt in your mind, that you are a slave of God, if indeed you're a believer, since those who live righteously are slaves of righteousness, as the Holy Spirit reminds us through the pen of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. He reads, "But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." In other words, the truth of the matter, as we have said many, many times, no human being is free. You are always a slave, either to sin or righteousness. When people say, "Well, I want to do this, and I can turn it off anytime I want," they're lying. They're under bondage. It will require the grace of God in many cases, in all cases, but depending on what it is, for them to see daylight. But nevertheless, the truth is, you know, when you say, "I'm free to do what I want," then the truth is also you're free to say, "I sin, but I'm under sin," even though I may not recognize it. So it should be clear to you, though, that you are under God's bonds and obligated to obey his word. But failure to obey his word implies that one is throwing off the yoke or bonds that he is under. So, it is because of Israel's failure that punishment becomes necessary. The truth the Lord wants us to be aware then is that he does not want to punish us, or he does not enjoy punishing us without reason. Now, I don't know of any normal parent that enjoys punishing a child. Every parent will rather have well-behaved children than so that all they have to do is shower them with whatever it is they want to shower them with. But necessity makes it that they must punish. Therefore, then, all I'm saying is, if you enjoy the Lord's blessings but decide to ignore him through disobedience to his word, then you can be certain he will bring punishment to bear on you. Nonetheless, no one should ever think that God punishes him or her without reason. He's not that kind of God who enjoys punishing anyone without any reason. So in any event, the point that we're stressing is that you should be aware, or that you should be cognizant, that punishment comes to those who ignore the Lord by being disobedient to his word. That is our first assertion. A second assertion of the message of the passage we're considering, Hosea chapter 13, verses 7 to 8, is that punishment from the Lord will come in form and nature that you do not expect. Punishment from the Lord will come in the form and in the nature that you do not expect. That is our second assertion. Now, this assertion involves two distinctive declarations about God's punishment. So we break it down. The first is punishment of God to those who rebel against his word will come in a surprising, sudden form from a position they do not expect. That is to say, God can bring punishment from any quarters. He can use any means that he chooses. And generally, it will be surprising to us. That's the way he will do it. Now, it is this truth then that is conveyed in the message the prophet delivered to Israel in verse 7 of what we're studying, Hosea chapter 13, verse 7. He says, "So I will come upon them like a lion, like a leopard, I will lock by the path." Now the sentence, "I will come upon them like a lion," is more literally from the Hebrew, Ida, something like, "I will be to them like a lion," or "I am to them like a lion." Now, so this is because we have a Hebrew verb that means to be or to become, even mean to behave or even to act. So the Lord said through the prophet that he will be or become like a lion to Israel. Now the question then is how to interpret what the Lord intended to convey to Israel, because that has to be a metaphor or a figure. It cannot be a direct or a literal meaning. Now, lion is an animal that brings fear to people, especially in the Old Testament times. Now, I think most of what they have there probably was the mountain lions. Now, it is because of the fear that lion conjures, or the terror that is praised, that prophet Amos referred to the fear raised by his roaring in Amos chapter 3, verse 8. Amos chapter 3, verse 8. It reads, Amos chapter 3, verse 8 reads, "The lion has roared, who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy?" In other words, here is the prophet telling his people, well, when lion roars, people get afraid. So when God speaks to him, why will he not prophesy? Why wouldn't he tell people? Which is generally the case. If you know that God is speaking through you, then you know that you're bound to deliver that message to people, no matter how awkward that may sound. Now, the Israelites thought of a lion as a ruthless, unstoppable killer that takes animal from the flock at will. Not only this, to the people, lion conveys the image of ferocity and destructive power. They also know that it frequently works by ambushing its prey. So, when the Lord says that he will be to Israel like a lion, he intended to convey several truths to them. He wants them to understand that his judgment will be dreadful and quite destructive and will come to them suddenly as a lion pounces on his prey. Of course, many of our English versions focus on the suddenness of the attack of a lion as reflected in the translation of the NIV and many other modern English versions. But the image of lion was also intended to convey that the punishment the Lord will bring to them will be one that is dreadful or that strikes fear in them as a lion strikes fear in people. God's judgment or punishment to Israel will not only be terrifying and sudden, but there is an element of surprise as well as swiftness involved in the punishment. It is this element of surprise that is described in the image of a leopard when the prophet states, "Like a leopard, I will lurk by the pot." See, a leopard is a ferocious animal that is noted for its swiftness, speed, as evident in the comparison that we found in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 8. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 8. He reads, "Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture, swooping to devour." So it is not only that a leopard is swift, it also operates by stalking its prey. It is this practice that is conveyed in the word lock of the NIV. Now the word lock is translated from a Hebrew word that in our passage means to lie in wait, to lock, that is, to attack another in an ambush. Now, the idea of ambush conveys the image of surprise. That is one thing that the military always treasures, that element of surprise. It doesn't matter how well an army is equipped, once that element of surprise comes in, it's very difficult to recover in the particular battle. So if the Lord said to Israel that he will walk by the path, then he means he will take them by surprise. Now that's something that all of us have to be careful about. Now you see, by that I mean, suppose we go astray, or I go astray, and I say, okay, well, I know it's coming, and I just wait, anticipating it. Well, God being who he is, says, no, it's not going to happen when you think. It is when you're comfortable, everything is forgotten, or so to say, here the Lord comes. That's what he's talking about, this element of surprise. He will come when they think everything is fine. And I'm going to be reading a passage where that's they're getting that kind of vibe from their prophets. Now, Israel was no doubt being deceived by false prophets at the time that the words of the Lord came through the prophet. Many of their false prophets have probably lured them into thinking that everything is going well with them. In fact, Prophet Jeremiah makes a reference to the false prophets and priests who were giving people false hope of peace in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 11. He reads, "They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace." See, they've been deceived. Similarly, the writer of Lamentation makes a reference to these false prophets who were giving false hope to the people, in that they were not addressing the people's sin. Because this is one thing, until a person knows the problem, they can't solve it. It's only when you come to know what the problem is, then you look for the solution. So when the prophets are not telling them that their problem has to do with their sins, then the people don't know what to do. They're satisfied. But the prophet tells us that, yes, these prophets are not telling people about their sinful conduct, which is something that is, you know, very prevalent today in many of our local churches. Pastors stand behind the pulpit and tell people what they want to hear instead of what the truth says. Uncomfortable as it is, but no one is going to do well spiritually until they begin to address those real problems. So here in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14, we see that kind of thing. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14 reads, "Divisions of your prophets were false and worthless." Notice the next sentence. "They did not expose your sin." Yeah, that's what I was referring to. As long as people from the pulpit will not make people or believers to be aware of their failures in every respect, then they are causing problems for them. In other words, if believers are not told what their problem is, and they come, for them to be struck by the pastor telling them what they want to hear instead of the truth, then they are not going to prevent them from having serious problems. Here, where the Lord says it through the prophet, says, "They did not expose your sin." Why? This is what if they did, this is what will happen. "To ward off your captivity." In other words, if these prophets were told Israel the truth and they responded, then they ward off captivity. They won't go into captivity. A similar thing, if pastors do not tell the people the truth, then they are not helping, because people will get into serious problems spiritually and physically because they refuse to tell them the truth. This is something that we should really be mindful of, because many times when we keep talking about the spiritual condition of a nation, for example, really, part of it is really a commentary on the pastors. Now, I know that there are a few pastors who are serious about telling the truth. And people don't listen to them. They don't care to listen to them. Or even those who listen to them don't obey what God says. But so if they don't, I'm definitely sure the pastor is free, but the person will not ward off his or her problem. So he said, the oracles they gave you were false and misleading. That is something that, if you're a believer, you should treasure. Any teacher of the word of God that will let you exactly know the truth without any way of bending it or making it palatable to you, because that will do you no good. The truth that does good is the truth that hurts. Now, you know, they say only those things that hurt, you know, bring some kind of pain, that will do some good. People do exercise until they hurt. I understand it's not doing any much good. So you see, that's the same thing. Truth given to believers that hurt, make you uncomfortable, make you like sometimes picking up a stone and throw it at a pastor. Now that kind of truth is the type that's going to help you once you respond to it correctly. Therefore then, it is because of these false hopes that the people receive from their false prophets that will cause God's judgment or punishment to come upon them in a surprising manner. Of course, the concept of suddenness of the punishment of Israel that is conveyed in the message of the Lord through his prophet should have alerted Israel that she has violated her covenant relationship with the Lord, since the sudden terror is part of the judgment that Israel will experience. God already told them that they will experience that upon their failure to keep their covenants with him. And this we can see beginning, first of all, let's look at Leviticus chapter 26, verse 16. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 16. It reads, then I will do this to you. That's if they disobey. Then keep to the terms of the covenant relationship with the Lord. He said, I'll bring upon you sudden terror, wasting diseases, and fever that will destroy your sight and drain away your life. You will plant seed in vain because your enemies will eat it. That sudden terror. Should have told them something. Once they heard that word, sudden terror, from the prophet, that should have reminded them something about this passage. Now the message of the prophet about sudden terror should also have reminded them of Deuteronomy 28, verse 20. Deuteronomy 28, verse 20 reads, the Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. These are things that she was, they had that word, sudden terror. They know, well, it must be worth forsaking him. So be that as it may then, the truth that we should understand is that those who ignore the Lord by rejecting his word will face sudden punishment, or punishment will come to them in a sudden manner. The psalmist spoke to the sudden destruction of the wicked in Psalms 73, verse 19. Psalms 73, verse 19. He reads, how suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terror. So, we know that believers will get surprising punishment, but definitely unbelievers will also face that kind of thing. Now, of course, you may think of the wicked as the evil and ruthless individual. So you may not realize that the suddenness of destruction can overtake a believer. Now, if a believer consistently rejects truth and rebuke of the scripture through his teacher, then he or she will also experience sudden destruction. In other words, if you constantly reject truth, then you will put yourself where you meet this sudden destruction, as mentioned in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. Proverbs 29, verse 1. In fact, once you get to Proverbs, hold your bookmark us there, because we next few passages will be in Proverbs. Proverbs 29, verse 1 says, a man who remains stiff-necked, that's stubborn, after many rebukes, will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. So that is why it's dangerous. If you keep hearing the word, keep being rebuked by it, if you become stubborn about it, then God says he will come with judgment, and it is, once he takes it, it will be irreversible. That's part of without remedy. That is, there's nothing that can help you. That is to say, let me make it a little bit clearer to us. That means God can hit a believer with some kind of sickness or something on this planet, and no doctor on this planet can do a thing about it. That's part of it. When he brings that judgment, there you can go. And there have been cases of people, they parade the doctor's office, and the doctors don't find anything wrong, and they go to the best experts, they still don't find anything wrong. Now, if you know such a person, you should be saying, well, you better start looking at your spiritual life, because you may have crossed that point. We don't know. In some cases, the person may just, God may still be warning the person. And they go through all that, and they don't find any problem, as far as physicians are concerned, because that's a spiritual problem. God is putting that, so that's what it means without remedy. However, if you live in accordance with truth, then you should not be concerned about sudden destruction because of God's promises recorded in the following passages in Proverbs, beginning at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 25 through 26. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 25 through 26. It reads, have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Drop down to chapter 28. Verse 18. It reads, he whose walk is blameless is kept safe, but he whose ways are perverse will suddenly fall. So in any event, the first distinctive description of the form of the judgment of God to Israel is that it will come in surprising, sudden form from a position they do not expect. A second distinctive description of God's judgment or punishment that is announced to Israel concerns its nature. The punishment of the Lord will be fierce. It is this description that is described in the first sentence of what we're studying in Hosea chapter 13, verse 8, Because he says, like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them. Now, the bear in the Old Testament is used as a symbol of danger and ferocity. So a bear that is robbed of her cubs conveys the image of something dangerous and fierce, as attested, for example, in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 8. He reads, you know your father and his men. They are fighters and as fierce as a wild bear robbed of her cubs. Besides, your father is an experienced fighter. He will not spend the night with the troops. Now, the point is because they have that image of a bear being very fierce. That's why that comparison is made with a bear robbed of his cubs. Now then, when the Lord says that he will attack the Israelites like a bear robbed of her cubs, he means his punishment or judgment on Israel will be fierce. You see, the word attack of the NIV, and of course in many of our modern English versions, is translated from a Hebrew verb that means to meet, to encounter. However, it is difficult to comprehend what it means for the Lord to encounter or meet Israel as a bear robbed of her cubs unless it is understood to mean to attack or to pounce on Israel. Hence, we understand that God will attack Israel in a fierce way, implying that his judgment on them will be fierce. So that brings us then to our third and final proposition of this message. A third assertion of this message, of the passage we're considering, is that the result of God's punishment will be violent destruction of any individual or even local church. Violent destruction of any individual or local church is in disobedience. Now, in the passage we're considering, it is this violent destruction of Israel that is stated. The destruction of Israel is conveyed in the sentence of Hosea chapter 13, verse 8. Because it said, like a lion, I will devour them. Now, the word devour is translated from a Hebrew verb that means to consume food that is usually in a solid form, hence to eat. But the word can also mean to destroy, to ruin, as a figurative meaning of eating, since food that is consumed implies it has been destroyed. Now, so when the Lord spoke of consuming Israel like a lion, or as a lion devours its prey, then the sense is that Israel will be totally destroyed. Now, this was later fulfilled in the hands of the Assyrians. Now, that doesn't mean they wouldn't exist. It means from that land, they'll be wiped out at that point, carried away to another place. So it is not only that Israel will be destroyed, but her destruction will be quite violent. You know, it's one thing to die, but it's a different thing to die violently. But even more scary is not the dying, but to die a slow, painful death. That is much more scary than just dying. I mean, if you're a believer, you die, and you're gone. That's not a big deal. But it's the one that's painful. Is that slow, violent, painful death. Now the violence of her destruction is conveyed in two ways in verse 8, where we're studying of Hosea chapter 13. The first indication of violence is given in the expression, rip them open, rip them open. An alternative rendering of this expression is something like, I will rip open their chest. But to be more literal, actually the Hebrew line may be translated something like, I will tear the enclosure of their heart. That's more literal. I will tear the enclosure of their heart. Now this is because we have two Hebrew nouns used. The first noun in our context here means enclosure. The second noun that is used literally means heart or chest. But when these two nouns are used together in the form that they appear in the Hebrew line of our text, then the sense is what is described as pericardium. That is, their vitals. He will rip open their vitals. Now, so to rip open the chest is a violent action. Here, of course, the Lord through his prophet is being figurative. He means that he will, in a violent manner, destroy Israel. In fact, there is a sense that the Lord means that he will attack the center of that which sustains Israel as an attack on the heart that circulates blood through the body can be quite destructive. Hence, he will violently attack the seat of power and of the military of Israel so that they will be violently destroyed by their enemies. He will go after the seat of power. So in other words, this is something that you should know as a believer. When the Lord wants to bring judgment, he may, on a nation, he may go after whatever the seat of power is. In other words, the very protection Israel, in this case, had will be destroyed. This will be similar to what prophet Isaiah declared with respect to the destruction of Israel's fortified city in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 17, verse 3 reads, the fortified city will disappear from Ephraim, and the royal power from Damascus. The remnant of Aram will be like the glory of the Israelites, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, so the second indication of violence in the destruction of Israel is given in the last sentence of Hosea chapter 13, verse 8, when he says, a wild animal will tear them apart. Now, some English versions introduce the comparative word as or like in their translation of this sentence to make sense of the Hebrew line. Actually, the Hebrew line could be understood either as a further statement of the destruction of Israel using a figure of wild animal to convey fierce military that will destroy Israel, a very ferocious, violent military. Or it could be understood as describing the manner of this destruction of Israel. Now, since the Lord has already spoken of the destruction of Israel, it is better to understand the Hebrew line as stating the manner in which the Lord will destroy Israel. In effect, the sentence, a wild animal will tear them apart, may be rendered something like, as a wild animal will tear them apart. In this way, it will be clear that it is the manner of Israel's destruction that was in view. In other words, the Lord communicates to Israel that her destruction will be violent. In any event, the fact that Israel's destruction will be violent should serve as a warning to all of us. Those who ignore the Lord will certainly face his wrath and will not be pleased with what they come. In other words, the wrath they face will not be pleasant, but very painful. Hence, we should pay attention to the words of Psalms chapter 50, verse 22. Psalms chapter 50, verse 22. Psalms 50, verse 22 reads, "Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue." So the Lord wants nothing more than to bless you. But if you ignore him by rejecting his word, then you should be aware that you will face a fierce punishment that comes in a surprising manner that will lead to violence and total destruction. In this case, it may be a violence that leads to death. So avoid this fate, though, by being obedient to God's word so he can continue to bless you and you will not face this threat. This is what the Lord says to you and I as he was delivered to Israel. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us in all that we have studied this evening so that we will continue to be faithful so we do not meet with the threats that you have spelled out this evening. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.